I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is Old School 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Austin Orman, as always, joined by Husker Hall of Fame 8-year NFL vet Jay Foreman. Much nicer day. Beautiful, clear blue skies. Very little wind here in the capital city. But don't worry, we'll be blowing plenty of hot air here throughout the course of the next 3 hours. You want to be a part of the show? You can. 402-464-5685. Jay Foreman, it's been a long 48 hours. Welcome back, my friend.
Well, thank you. You know, you welcoming me back is a lot better than some other people that work here.
I know how to treat my friends right.
Yeah.
I don't want to be enemies. I want to be friends.
Yeah, Nick Saner is definitely an enemy.
I thought we were going to avoid the naming of names.
He's an enemy of the state.
Good thing you know people.
Yeah. That's all right. We'll get him back, though.
We
in this together.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I do have to side with my co-host on this one, so. Might have to drag me kicking and screaming.
I just do not like. I know right now. I sent Nick on a pretty easy situation. All right. Now I've been hooking him up since I've been knowing him.
Since day one.
I've been lining him up real clean.
Whatever he needs.
Started out bringing him to Colorado and all this other stuff. And then now,
what does he do? He goes and upgrades on you.
Upgrades on me, throws it in my face. This is your room. when he came, you know, because I was on site, he's like, oh, this is your room. Oh, mine was a king with a view. So forth and so on. He going on all these trips, leaving his boy behind. Now I sent him today to do something, and now he has some incriminating evidence, and now he thinks he's missed. Now I know exactly how to deal with him.
Is the clarity nice, at least?
The clarity is nice.
Okay.
Between him and Eric on the text line, I know exactly where they stand.
Eric, appreciate you texting in here. Jake, text in a Dolphins logo again.
Damn.
Talk about rubbing your face in it.
That's all right. You know what? They beat us. They beat the brakes off of us. And Jake needs this right now, because when they get blown out this weekend, he'll be back to reality. But I'm going to give him.
Miami had their Super Bowl.
I'm not like Jake where my team loses and I'm going to give him full credit. This is his week. He would have been smart if he bet me that I would have had to wear some Dolphins, but he didn't.
Ah, because he wasn't that confident.
Yeah, he was not confident at all.
No. Nor should he have been.
Yeah.
What is that now? 3-15 for the Dolphins against Sean McDermott?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Is that heat?
It is.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
You know what happens. He got
a little dehydrated.
Yeah, a little dehydrated. He'd be all right, though.
He is.
Yeah.
We'll see. Speaking of the heat in that general area of the country, more heat on LSU right now, Jay. They claim that they didn't actually fire Brian Kelly before.
He's the coach?
Well, no. He's not the coach, but he wasn't fired. It's LSU trying to get creative about how they can avoid paying $54 million. Essentially, you have the conversation between Scott Woodward and Brian Kelly. Hey, nope, you're not a coach anymore. You know, we got to go a different direction. And now LSU is arguing under some really tiny language or some vague wording in a contract about, well, you weren't fired then. We're finding ways to fire you for cause, so we don't have to pay you the buyout. And Brian Kelly's like, I'm not settling. You know, you pay me my money.
Yeah, and also, he'll coach again.
Yeah.
He'll coach again somewhere. Mm-hmm.
So next year, probably.
Yeah, next year. So it's not truly $54
million. No.
And to be honest with you, how does this look for any other coach that's going to come coach there?
Really bad.
You were the shining star of the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it first initially happened.
In a crazy cycle with a bunch of big jobs, right. You were the shining.
You just leapfrogged Penn State, and that's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, not so much. But now you're dropping drastically. If I was a coach and I had to choose between Florida, Penn State, LSU initially, it's LSU all the way.
Yeah.
Now, there's no way. I mean, you could agree to be their coach and spend 4 weeks making sure they can't do this to you, so you don't even know whether you show up to work or not, because they might go back on it, and then you're back in the coach's pool.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems short-sighted. Now it seems personal. Sure, Brian Kelly is not very likable, and he did some things, and he did some stupid stuff like, not allowing former players around. Andrew Whitworth, tried to reach out to him a couple times. I mean, he just did ignorant. I mean, that's just dumb. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just be honest.
It's not helping anyone, hurting everyone.
And he knows better.
Yeah.
I mean, you
still did it, but knows better.
You're the head coach at Notre Dame. You're not going to Lou Holtz call you. Nah, man, I'll tell him I'll get back to him.
But I get a minute.
Right. Or just, just something like that. So I understand all that. But that doesn't mean that you, unfortunately for him, you still own one. Now you're going to be in there haggling over it. You're going to spend probably millions of dollars. Then you're going to have to end up paying his lawyer fees mm-hmm. when he wins. And all for what?
For what? Yeah. That's the question. Who are you helping? Because it's clearly not helping you. Are you making Brian Kelly,
yeah.
a sympathetic figure in college sports? No one liked the guy. You hear the stories, right? The ones you brought up about LaFleur. Right. Oh, yeah. And McVay, when they were at Central Michigan underneath him, being forced to serve as the valets instead of getting the invite to the party, on through Cincinnati, through Notre Dame, and then LSU, where he's rubbed people the wrong way. They haven't necessarily liked the guy. And yet, LSU, you are making us almost feel sorry for the guy that you made a bad decision to hire him, got way less than what you thought you were paying for.
Yeah.
And now you just won't pay him. Because you're stupid. I get it. You want to find your way out of $54 million. But like you said, by the time he gets a new job, maybe it's 30 that you're on the hook for, which is still a lot of money. But again, that was your choice. You got to swallow the pill at some point.
If you were this worried about paying him, you shouldn't have fired him.
How about that?
If you were this worried about paying him, then maybe you shouldn't have fired him, or whoever fired him shouldn't have had the authority to fire him.
Well, you know who got fired, right? Who fired him, right? The now fired athletic director.
Right, but the governor fired him initially, didn't he? Because the governor held the board meeting without the AD and was like, this is what you need to do.
Right? Essentially.
Yeah. So.
Well, then said, no, I'm not letting the AD pick the next coach. Right. So pre-firing the AD.
Yeah, now you fired him, now I'm firing. It's just all jacked. LSU's a storied program. They're not doing business the right way. I don't know if their pockets are a little tight. Because part of the buyout, you have to project, when he'll get another job.
Mm-hmm.
And you're helping Brian Kelly's case to get all his money from you and potentially never work anymore. You could see him doing something like that. Go take a small college job.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks. I'll do it for $200,000. Give it the rest of my...
Yeah. Well, that's what 1171 says. For all the reason you guys have just mentioned, why are you so confident that Brian Kelly will get another job?
I think he's a good coach. I don't think he was a good fit for LSU. I think the fit, the paycheck fit. I think the idea fit really well. I think he started off on the wrong foot, and it just never kind of progressed from there. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a really good coach when he has a really good coordinator and a really good offensive defensive coordinator, and obviously special teams. I do think, like a lot of coaches that get this type of, first of all, what people have to understand, all these coaches are making all this money. They get obviously a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, they're getting paid whatever the market says for them to get paid. They get a ton of power, and they can kind of lose their way a little bit. And that's probably what hurt them the most, down there. You didn't have to try to be from Louisiana. You just had to accept and really welcome some of their traditions and figure out what worked. And then obviously add to it because that's what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to be an upgrade from Ed Orgeron from a CEO standpoint, which means how you treat people and how things flow. And then obviously you're getting an uptick in talent. So what you are able to improve at Notre Dame pre-NIL transfer portal, mm-hmm. let's call it the super NIL and super transfer portal, you were able to do essentially recruiting in like a two-state area with LSU. It just didn't work.
I'm not sure Brian Kelly fully understood the last two jobs he took. Notre Dame, to say you can't get the talent there, sure, academic, high-minded school, whatever. If you can't get talent to Notre Dame, is that a Notre Dame issue or is that a U issue? It's a U issue. Yeah. And then at LSU.
They had talent.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
they're college football playoff team.
Now, did they have the type of talent to beat that really good Alabama team when they got smoked? But who did? Nobody. That's why they're one of the best teams of all time. And then the next year they were back in it. They mm-hmm. were, I think, Clemson. Then the next year they played, I forget who it was. You know, it was a down 0-1 score game. So you were there talent wise. Sure, he was under a lot of immense pressure from to win a national title when we were kind of getting into college football playoffs. But yeah, saying you can't get the talent at Notre Dame and then you just pushing out first round linemen and Hall of Fame linemen is probably offensive linemen, you know, stuff you probably shouldn't really utter out there.
You shouldn't. But yeah. I think it's also clear that Marcus Freeman at least understands the job he's at.
Right now, he does.
And maybe
right now
it's different because he's a first time head coach, you know, there at Notre Dame. But I think credit to Marcus Freeman for keeping his head down and working. You know, in the extra medium shirts. Corey and Lincoln says Florida's not hiring Brian Kelly. If he doesn't get the Penn State job, what job would he want? As a 64-year-old, would he want to take over a second-tier program?
If he had some sort of connection to it, he could probably very well sit out a year. He can get on TV. Mm-hmm. Like this Brian Kelly and the stuff he kind of did or how he treated people can kind of blow over, and then kind of when you're getting into the college football playoffs, somebody will want him on TV. Mm-hmm. He's actually pretty decent of an interview when he's in a, you know, kind of in that type of like arena. So look, if the worst, Brian Kelly's not the worst out there, like yeah. as far as like
personality
yeah. and how he's treated people, stuff like that. And those other people have gotten other opportunities. I mean, you got to think Steve Sarkisian has had, you know, a couple issues. Now, obviously not, you know, directly related to Brian Kelly, but you hear some stories about Steve Sarkisian, but when he was out there, and even a little bit now, like, you know, he was at a golf thing, and, the, you know, caddies know, you know, they have a lot of time with him. And he was like Steve Sarkisian, and all he did was talk about himself. But then all I'm saying is you can get back in it if you go, you know, through the right steps, and 64 is young.
I mean, even if he only has 5 years left, let's say, if he's gonna coach till he's 70, he could
Florida would take Brian Kelly on a five-year contract, knowing they're probably trying to fire him after three, and if he's there and doing well, so be it.
Or even think about like an Oklahoma State or an Arkansas, a job like that. I don't think he's going to Stanford. I think that's a bridge too far. I think Penn State will look somewhere else. But if you're in Oklahoma State or you're in Arkansas and you can get 5 to 6 years of 8+ wins, maybe year one's a little bumpy, so you get 3 or 4, but then you're 8, 9, 8, 7, 8, 8. That's a huge step in the right direction. You deal with it, right? Yeah. Whether you're a player or you're a coach, no matter what your shtick is, how big your ego is, there's a school out there, more likely than not, that can deal with it to a point. But for LSU, it came to the point of diminishing returns where, okay, we can't put up with this any longer. Every place has a different breaking point, depending on how far the person in question pushes, right? Think about Antonio Brown. Not a perfect comparison by any means, but how long did teams keep taking chances on him, hoping that, oh, I can fix him. Oh, I mean, I just need the talent, or we can deal with it.
Yeah.
Turns out you couldn't.
Until you don't produce. You deal with it until you don't produce.
And Brian Kelly's still producing generally.
Yeah, he's still producing. And you know, he was losing close games and losing to top-ranked teams. I think their approach probably to the portal was more of desperation this year, where you went in and got – it was kind of like Florida State, you know, a couple of years ago, right? And, you know, didn't gel offensively or defensively, and they just haven't lived up to, you know, the expectations. I don't think, you know, the offense was as dangerous as they thought it was going to be. The competition in the SEC is really, really good. And if you're not Trump tight, especially offensively, you're in some trouble. And that's what he was kind of known for. So, and then on top of how you treat guys or how you treat people in the building, when you're winning, it's good. But then when you're losing and losing big games on national TV, then it's like, all right, it's time for you to go. If you also, I mean, I think Bo Pelini did well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he kind of was abrasive at times. And when you're, of course, you still won 9 games, but then you start to hear, well, okay, well, you're getting embarrassed on the big games. Well, then you start to have, remember when he was like razor thin with his hat with the referee, I think, against Iowa, even though mm-hmm. he wasn't the right with the bad call.
Right.
You know, that gets kind of exploited. And then next thing, you know, he's gone. So either way, they got to pay him his money.
You're not going to not pay him his money. Tom Mars, who's a pretty famous college sports and coaches contracts lawyer, says, my take on the likelihood of LSU getting Brian Kelly's buyout reduced, chances are approximately 0. Worse yet, by allowing its for-cause position to become public, LSU has given Kelly the perfect excuse to say why he can't get a job anywhere else, eliminating any offset for LSU.
Sometimes the best things that you need to say is nothing. And, you know, and he must have been trying to work out a deal with him because he was open to it. Mm-hmm. So
until you started running your mouth,
running your mouth and embarrassing him and saying he wasn't going to get anything, then he's like, all right, man, you know, enough is enough. And so you almost had a little bit of reduction.
Mm-hmm. But you couldn't let good enough be good enough.
Yeah.
You had to push for paying nothing. A few more texts to get to here. 1171. Brian Kelly doesn't fit the South. For that reason, he's not going to Oklahoma State or Arkansas. I think if Michigan State fires Jonathan Smith, he could go back to Oregon State and Brian Kelly would go to Michigan State. What do you think about that scenario, Jay?
I could see him at Michigan State. That would fit him. I think with Brian Kelly, it's just going to come down to like what he has recognized he needed to change, mm-hmm. How he's going to go about it and actually do it and make it a part of like who he has to realize. Okay, you go to Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Musin Muhammad can hang around. You know what I mean? I mean, you just can't. Kirk Cousins can go. So you got to.
Connor Cook.
Yeah. Yeah. All those guys. So you got to figure out that. You got to figure out how you're treating people on a day to day basis. Once he does that, the coaching will take care of itself. Mm-hmm. But that is part of coaching. And it can't be only for when the lights are on. Because right. that only lasts so long. And then once you do, you know what I'm saying?
It's the motivation versus discipline.
And if you're faking it, because discipline is a part of you. Mm-hmm. Once you're faking it and say it doesn't work out at Michigan State again, say, and you're only 3 years in, you're done, dude.
Yeah.
You're done. You're not going to, or unless you're going to go and try to coach at a small college. And
you going to Akron, really?
Yeah. You're not trying to do that. No. Then you're going to try to get on TV. Not happening.
No, not happening. Yeah. Here's a good segue. 6785 says Brian Kelly will end up at UCLA. Book it. Interesting. I think Michigan State probably be more likely if they make a move. But Jay, that leads us into this with UCLA. They are nearing a deal to stop playing at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
They moved from the Rose Bowl to SoFi Stadium, about 20,000, 19,000 less capacity, more premium suites. Okay, interesting move. It's closer to campus as well by about 20 miles. But Jay, here's the thing. UCLA, a school like most right now that is operating in the red, is rumored to owe the city of Pasadena between $60 and $80 million to break the lease and move into SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, you'll be all right. Your check's in the mail. They're pulling Al Davis. They're pulling Al Davis on him.
Straight up.
You know who did? Al Davis did that too. Mm-hmm. When the Raiders. I'll get you. It's coming.
Bye. Get you. Yeah. But bye.
They're trying to get a good faith, like let me up out of there, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Well, it's already happening.
But I don't think if Pasadena sticks to that 60-80 million, UCLA would be up in there again. Well, I don't even see the benefit of UCLA going to
SoFi.
I don't even see the benefit of it.
They think their bet from the reporting that I've heard is that they think they can get people to fill more of the premium suites that exist in SoFi. So maybe attendance is about the same, but you think you can get more from some bigger donors since you have more of those kind of suite or club level opportunities available.
Mm. That's a for a bad football program.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that's.
Especially if it's going to cost you $80 million. Even if it, quote unquote, only costs you $60
million. It's not even going to work. It just doesn't even seem like it's even feasible to even get that done. But, you know, it's, man. Well, I think UCLA, you're trying to hire a coach. Part of where are we going to play?
Jeff Schwartz, former NFL guy, said convert the multi-purpose stadium they have now, Drake Stadium, kind of their track stadium now, holds about 11,700. Obviously, you renovate it, put stands on all sides, but could you use that on campus? You know, build a new track facility, remodel football, actually have something on campus. Like, it's cool that you played in the Rose Bowl, but the fact that you weren't good, you weren't a draw, and it's 30 miles from campus, you put yourself in what could have been a really cool position if it was just down the road.
Right.
But 32 miles in LA traffic, students aren't going to fight
like
2 hours.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool right on campus, though.
It would be.
Yeah. It might, yeah. And just make it 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50,000. I don't know. You know, so that, that'd be pretty cool.
According to Lincoln, SoFi is 13 miles from campus and the Rose Bowl is 32 miles. I mean, it'd be one thing if SoFi was 3 miles from campus and you had like a pedestrian bridge or you had like trams going back and forth. Even 13 miles. That's going to be a good 45 minutes.
You ever been in LA traffic?
I have never been in LA.
I understand why people get mad. Straight up. You could be 5 miles and it could take you an hour. Yeah, it's not fun. So I don't know. I think that it's the worst thing that they can do. And if they want to do it, then so be it. It's going to affect how they get a coach.
Oh, without a doubt.
And every move they've been making right now, seems like the wrong ones over the last few years. And so they better get it together and figure out what they're going to do. You know, I would say, hey, look, all right, we can do it one more year and then, you know, try to raise some money to do something on campus. I would assume you could make suites in there, you know, because they'd be new. You can make it the way you want. Mm-hmm. And it'd be really good for track. You could probably get some bigger track events there, you know, like some U.S., qualifying events for the Olympics and stuff.
Try to compete with Oregon.
Yeah. I mean, you could get some or maybe the, was it USTA, you know, what, you know, they do, they do their circuit, big college events, but we shall see.
I'll just say good luck.
I hope it works out for you.
I do hope it works out for
you. Or you just hit him with stay blessed.
Stay blessed. Martin Jarman.
Yeah.
Stay blessed.
Stay blessed.
Not staying blessed, Nico Harrison. Anthony Davis, could he be blessed with a trade? Let's talk through some trade possibilities.
To the Lakers.
It's on the list. We'll talk about that when we get back to Old School.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back, Austin Foreman and Jay Foreman. Jay, first and foremost, let's just get your reaction to Nico Harrison being fired real quick before we jump into the business of the segment.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, the owner said that he made Nico make the trade. But Nico had been talking about the trade for a while. There also was a guy that was saying that essentially – I think it was Nico, but he didn't name Nico. He said, you know, Nico, I think Nico was Nico like friend or close to Kobe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and Pelinka, who's Kobe's agent.
So
yeah.
He was saying that
Nike.
When Kobe lost to the Celtics, so this is Nico talking, but it wasn't the guy that was saying this didn't name it Nico.
Yeah.
That Kobe, you know, when he was working out at his house or at the Lakers facility, kept playing the Celtics fight song or whatever through his whole offseason. Mm-hmm. And obviously they ended up winning. And then he was around or knew somebody close to LeBron after they lost to Dallas. He didn't come out and, you know, then he went back to the lab. Well, when Luka and them made it to the finals, Luka came back fatter than ever, out of shape and injured. Mm-hmm. That's when they decided to trade him. Nico's taking a lot of heat, essentially. Hopefully they take care of him because he just only did what he was told to do.
Yeah.
and you're not gonna get, you're not gonna have a stadium of close to 20,000 people or whatever it is at arena, they didn't fire the owner because the owner owns the building that you're sitting in. It's tough business, and you know, for him, it might be better too. I don't know how good or how much he's well thought of in the GM, you know, realms, but hopefully he gets another opportunity.
Even if it's back at Nike or something, you're not looking at that guy the same. Like, you get why he had to take the general manager opportunity. I mean, there's only 30 of those jobs in the world.
Yeah.
But even if you know him really well, aren't you still looking somewhat sideways at him? What are you going to do next?
What were you thinking?
Were you just taking orders?
Yeah.
Did you not have the stones to say, hey, even if it's the first time GM, I know this is stupid, we can't do this?
I think he also was thinking about doing it.
Oh, he had to have been.
Because he was talking, that type of deal, I think Nico initially floated out there. I don't know if it was like wine or alcohol induced. He sent a text message he sent the text and was like, Palenka was like, oh, I got you on the hook. It's no different than when the Giants GM, who knew Dan Morgan, and Dan Morgan had him hook, line, and sinker down there in the Senior Bowl
right,
for Brian Burns.
Yeah.
You know, fleeced him. Now, Brian Burns obviously produced, but I don't know, man. It's tough, but you know what? You know, you wish him the best.
The Mavericks right now sit at 3-8, 14th in the Western Conference. Players have said it's been harder to play at home than it has been on the road with the fire Nico chance going on in the arena. So, Jay, Nico Harrison won't get to make any of the next moves of former Maverick Michael Finley, part of the brain trust in charge of handling the day-to-day operations and transactions for the Dallas Mavericks. First and foremost, could trading Anthony Davis be on the table, and should trading Anthony Davis be on the table for the Dallas Mavericks?
I mean, depends on what Dallas is trying to do. I mean, if you're going to trade Anthony Davis, then you need to trade Kyrie Irving. And you need to trade Klay Thompson. And just start over with Cooper Flagg and D'Angelo Russell and some complimentary pieces. There's nothing wrong with that.
Could you get more for Kyrie coming off an injury or a slightly younger D'Lo? Who can play this year?
Kyrie would be second half of the season.
At best. Yeah.
Depends on where Kyrie's at. I mean, just because of health-wise, you say D'Angelo, but do you really want D'Angelo running your team? If you're in the... Okay, let me ask you this. If you're the Houston Rockets... Exactly. And they need a point.
Yeah.
You probably would look more to Kyrie if he's able to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an interesting question. But you'd rather have D'Angelo in Dallas, in my opinion, with Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, Cooper Flagg would be the number one option or, you know, 1B and just eventually take over the team because you picked him number one.
Right. A guy that, you know, Kyrie's been that alpha on teams before. D'Lo's tried to be, but hasn't been as successful. He's had more success when he's able to be number two or number three. And if you're Dallas, you get the ball out of Cooper Flagg's hands as the initiator, as the point guard. You can put him in his spots where he can be successful. So then, Jay, let's flip this around. The Mavs have their 2026 first-round pick and don't have another one of their own firsts until 2031, thanks in large part to some of the deals being made and not getting picks back really in any way, shape, or form from the Lakers. I don't know if Anthony Davis is worth more than one, maybe two firsts right now, depending on what else you would end up packaging him with. But let's say, just for the sake of argument, the Mavericks are open to trading Anthony Davis. Is there a team or two out there that you think would be a good fit for the current version of 32-year-old Brow?
I like him back at the Lakers for the rest of the season with Bron. And then they both leave at the end of this season and go to the Clippers.
Ooh, interesting. Both of them to the Clips?
Yeah.
Both of them. Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm talking about next, not this year, but next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because Bron can't be in LA no more.
The Clippers are in LA, right?
No, I mean with the Lakers. And that lets you know I never think about the Clippers as in LA. The Clippers,
Inglewood.
They're in Clipper City.
Yeah, right. You
know? Lob City or whatever. But with LeBron, you just can't be there anymore. When they're talking about, Austin Reeves and all this and comparing him to you, that's disrespectful.
Come on.
And they're talking about Luka's ready. Luka's not ready. Luka is a great player. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he's not a winner. He's not going to win you a championship. He's just not. Austin, that man is a turnstile on defense. He will not win a championship. When you're not in shape, Austin, that's the only thing that you can control. Okay, let me ask you this. Name one superstar that's won a championship that's been out of shape.
Shaquille O'Neal, 2006 Miami.
Oh, but he was backing up.
I'm stretching.
In his prime.
Yeah.
And even Shaq, when he had weight problems, he got it. But then Shaq got bigger because of the fouls that he was taking. There's not one. And
You're right.
Barkley, probably one of the best at his position.
Mm-hmm.
No ring. Luka would be the same. You heard it here first.
I think Luka ends up a better player than Charles Barkley.
Mm.
I really do. I mean, the amount of usage that he's had, he's not shooting well this year, but his shooting efficiency has ticked up every year. The number of guys that have been first team all NBA as often as he has by this age. I mean, he's just entering his athletic prime. I hear you. You're right. The mental side of sports has to factor in, and I'm willing to believe it. This is also a guy who played a key role winning EuroLeague MVP and leading Real Madrid in the second best league in the world to a championship at age 18.
Yeah.
Before he came over. Right. Now, maybe he got, literally fat and, spiritually happy in America. Right. Here overseas. And maybe it's not the same young man, doesn't feel the same drive to prove himself. But he has one, being the star of the show. I mean, yes, alongside Kyrie in Dallas. But did anyone look at that team going into the playoffs and say, yeah, they have a legit chance to make the finals?
No.
But they did. Luka raised his game, ran into a better team in Boston, wasn't able to do it. But that was really his first extended playoff run.
Yeah.
So I'm not willing to write Luka off as not a winner quite yet. Now, I will certainly agree that he has plenty of work to do to prove it, that there's another gear. But the dude's averaging 37 points a game right now in Los Angeles. Even the defensive metrics, they're not the prettiest thing in the world, but he will compete. He has locked in. Like, the numbers aren't as bad as you would think for his reputation. They're not Trae Young level bad. And again, right. Luke is a much better player than Trae Young, needs to be held to a higher standard. I get that. But I'm not out as Luke is not a winner quite yet. Pairing
that
AD
probably
with
was
him,
a little bit too far.
But I get what you're coming from, what you're saying. How different will it be too? I mean, is LeBron elevating Luka? Not right now, obviously he's off the court, but was it an easy partnership for those two last year? Fine, it wasn't skeleton key everything.
It wasn't like a huge uptick, and that's why you look at the trade. I would say you went and got DeAndre Ayton, right? Mm-hmm. But if you could get AD just for one, just this three quarters of the year, with LeBron, you can provide more depth. You have more defensive prowess, which always has been, middle has been the Lakers' Achilles, or thorn in the side. I think that's what you do, but I doubt it would happen because Rob Pelinka. I think Rob Pelinka is trying to find a way. I think he's trying to find a way to break up with LeBron, and he would probably view Anthony Davis part of LeBron. Even though Luka represented by a club? No, he's not, right?
Ooh, I don't remember.
Is he? But either way, I think he would be wanting to
try. He's with Bill Duffy, WME.
Yeah. Yeah, so he would try to distance himself from LeBron and Clutch for a little while.
Yeah.
And let him continue to burn the house down.
Let me give you two options that I think stand out to me as interesting. Not that I'd love it, but as interesting. Number one, send AD home to Chicago.
You can get
Vooch off the books.
Yeah.
I know he's been there for a while. He's a stalwart. That's a risk for a Bulls team that's surprisingly pesky right now. But you send AD home, more athletic than Vooch, can run the floor, better defender.
Yeah. In the East, too.
In the East?
Yeah.
I'm in on that. The other one that I don't really see the path for, but would certainly be interesting, Golden State. Send him up the coast. You have Al Horford, who can play the four the five, in and out, both of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, the site that I'm reading here, CBS Sports, says it'd be Kuminga and Draymond Green, and probably then either Moses Moody or Buddy Hield.
To the Lakers?
To the Lakers. Brady. Luka would, LeBron would love having, you know, a shooter like Buddy Hield. Even Moses Moody's not bad from range. And Kuminga, you know, coming off the bench.
And Draymond.
And Draymond?
That might be the best of both worlds for everybody.
Or.
But you don't want the Golden State to level up with Steph. And or a rim protector.
Or do you trade Jimmy Butler for Anthony Davis? Before he gets fully malcontent,
yeah.
You say, hey, we gave it a run. We appreciate what you brought, but you and know we, what?
Yeah, I would.
But then to the Lakers, they have three guys playing, you know, very similar positions.
Because who would the Lakers get? Or just
Jimmy.
Oh, the Lakers would get Jimmy.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Or Dallas gets Jimmy Butler and some picks, or Golden State finds a third team.
Yeah, you have to send him down. But do you even want him around Cooper Flagg?
His deal's up in a year, too. That's the other part of it for Dallas, right? They need picks, and they need money off the books
right.
by 2031.
Yeah, but I mean, just the way, I mean, that you got to think he's...
He's a Texas guy. Tom Ball, Texas.
Yeah, but he's not the kid that came from Tom Ball, Texas. He's Jimmy Butler now.
Would he get back in touch with his roots?
No.
Okay.
He's too far gone. And I'm not saying that he's not a bad guy in the locker room, but it's just like Cooper Flagg is 18, 19 years old in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You need really good veterans around him that he sees on a daily basis what he needs to do to maximize his potential, not to just be a good player,
mm-hmm.
a role player, but to be a good to great player. Mm-hmm. You're going to need a very influential person around him
mm-hmm.
that can show him the rope, show him what it's like to work and what it needs to be, what it means to be a pro. You really want him around Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy does put the work in.
My man be coming out there looking like, was that emo? Was that style he was in?
Emo, yeah.
Emo. You know, to each his own. But that's if I pick Cooper Flagg number one, I'm trying to find somebody that he can, you know, that can embody professionalism. Because he's got to be a...
I'd rather get like a Harrison Barnes or an Andrew Wiggins.
Right, if you blow up this Dallas Mavericks... I don't know what you call
experiment.
It. Experiment. You got to make sure you surround him with guys mm-hmm. that are there to help him become the best he can be.
The other options that stood out to me that some people threw out there, the Sacramento Kings, I wouldn't really understand. Detroit, would they go all in? Probably trade Isaiah Stewart away.
That
part of the package.
To where? Shanghai? Shanghai Sharks?
No, Isaiah Stewart's an NBA guy.
I know he is. Nobody wants him. Would you want him in your locker room?
Yes.
No.
He's a good team guy. He's an enforcer.
You'd want him on your team. Do you? That dude right there, the fact that he tries to fight everybody, unprovoked.
To be fair, I was also an Isaiah Stewart guy when he was at Washington. I was a fan of him. So I might not be the best resource.
I think he's one of those guys you probably like on your team you don't want to play against. He reminds me of, what's this dude that used to play for the Knicks, Acey? Remember?
Oh, Quincy Acey from Baylor. Yeah.
When he would dunk on people?
Yeah.
And he'd push them out of the way, and then he would just, like, walk in their face and stuff, and then he'd start pushing refs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I think.
Couple other things then. 3591 says, Jokic isn't really in shape, and Paul Pierce, those guys who are out of shape and won championships in their primes. Jokic was playing a bunch of minutes, though.
Yeah, Jokic isn't in shape. Paul Pierce was in shape. They just weren't lean. They were what Kendrick Perkins called wax bodies.
Right.
Luka was fat.
Yes. Straight up.
Yeah.
Chubby cheeks. Never.
Yeah. Paul Pierce has been looking the same when I ran into him down there in Lawrence once when he was at Kansas. He's the same. Joker's always going to be like that. You know, this big old husky dude.
And that's part of the appeal, Jokic, so that he can make it work. So. Anyways, we'll go to break. We will wrap up hour one of the show with a new name on White Boy Wednesday. A couple of them, in fact. That's how we wrap up hour one of old.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
But we're back here, Austin Norman, Jay Foreman, wrapping up hour one of Old School on a Wednesday. Big shout out to the great folks down at Grotto Bar and Lounge on the Clock Tower Shopping Plaza. Check them out, 70th and A. Daily specials, all sorts of great drinks, unique items to them. As always, that is Grotto Bar and Lounge down 70th and A. Jay, it's the favorite time of the week, White Boy Wednesday. Of course, Whiteboard Wednesday coming up next. First of all, shout out to the Hoy Burglar, Sam Hoiberg. Career high, 18 points, 7 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3. 7 first half rebounds and 4 assists on the game. That game last night, Jay, I watched back on Big Ten Plus on the replay. And that's the perfect Sam Hoiberg game. No one else has it going. You need your energy guy. Sam's been a starter for Nebraska through the first three games this year. Wasn't perfect for Nebraska, but when they needed that steadying influence, they got just enough from Sam Hoiberg to push them over the edge. In a sloppy game, a game that Nebraska missed a lot of open shots and wasn't consistently crisp, that's the perfect opportunity for a guy like Sam to have a career night.
Right. Yeah, because you need him, because you can build confidence off of, even though the opponent's lesser, but you can know you can go to him in maybe smaller spurts in those same type of scenarios in a game. And seeing the ball go through the bucket is going to build confidence no matter what you're doing. So you also, obviously you want everything for Sam to do well, because he's really worked it, worked hard to get, earn his spot, keep his spot, and then obviously maybe not starting this year, but continue to put in good effort. So you're always happy for somebody like that.
And a secondary shout out on the basketball team goes to Price Sanford. Another good game for him. 19 points on 8 of 13, including 3 of 8 from 3, adds 5 rebounds there as well. Had a 5-0 personal run toward the end of the first half, and Nebraska ran a set for him to start the second half out of their Iverson series. Gets the layup for him there. So shout out to Price Sanford. But then, Jay, in hockey, how about this? If I said the names Sidney Crosby and Wayne Gretzky, would you know who I'm talking about?
I know who they are.
Okay. There's a young man in the NHL who has matched them in having the fewest games to reach 26 points. Macklin Celebrini. Never heard of him.
Who is that?
It plays for the Sharks.
I was going to say McDavid, but no.
It was not. No. No. McDavid's been in the league a few years. So this is a rookie in Macklin Celebrini, only 19 years old, has scored 26 points in 17 games. Oh, this is his second year in the NHL. That is tied with Sidney Crosby and Wayne Gretzky for the fewest games to reach 26 points by a teenager in NHL history.
That's awesome.
Good for that young man.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like if you don't come in the NHL and start ripping stuff up at the age of 20, you're like 2 years behind.
Right.
Yeah.
I know nothing about San Jose, where the Sharks play. Is it like, hey, good for you, you get to live in San Jose, or poor guy, you're living in San Jose, all you got to do is hockey?
San Jose's nice. Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys on the 49ers when I was there, would frequent there.
Ah.
It's nice. I like San Jose.
Good to know.
Yeah. I saw Sidney Crosby play.
Oh, did you now?
Yeah. Before, I didn't even know who the heck he was. He was He was playing in, like, I don't know, was it junior, whatever?
World something.
Yeah, but it was up in Canada, and I was up in, like, Kitchener.
Kitchener, Ontario?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was up there.
buying the cheap suits.
I was actually golfing and drinking, and I remember
cheap suits.
The whole town was shut down. And there's this big old hockey thing, and it just says Sidney Crosby is here, right?
Okay.
So, and then they had TVs outside and stuff, because you couldn't get in. So I knew somebody got in, and they're like, yeah, this dude's supposed to be the next Wayne Gretzky.
Not far off.
And he had like 3 goals. So I was like, yeah, he's probably pretty good.
Pretty solid. Yeah. So Sam Hoiberg and Macklin Celebrini, shout outs on White Boy Wednesday. Whiteboard Wednesday, Nebraska football edition. What Nebraska did well against UCLA on both sides of the ball, coming up next here at 4.